proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
Spiritual warfare is on, and the darkness has pulled out all the stops. This is the topic we're going to be dealing with. And when I say the spiritual warfare is on, and that the realm of darkness has pulled out all the stops, I'm not just referring to here, our country of the United States of America, but the entire world. Have you noticed that the entire world, at some point or another, we all look alike? We all sound alike. The same things are happening in one place and one part of the world like it is here. Every day that passes, we hear and we see more and more evil behaviors that can only be explained as coming from the pit of hell because they're so horrendous. And many people seem to be hell-bent on evil. There's no other explanation. And before you jump to conclusions and think that I'm being radical in saying this, please stay tuned to the end of this series and listen to the facts I will be presenting, as well as basing our understanding on the Word of God, not on my thoughts. The Word of God, the Bible, is what is our instruction book. And once you see and hear what we are presenting, then you judge for yourself and make a true assessment of the times we are living. And it will be to your advantage to understand these times. So welcome to the program to look into this topic. Spiritual warfare is on, and the darkness has pulled out all the stops. This is part number one, and I'm Nena Arias. We cannot hear of all the crime, the violence, the immorality, and corruption like we do daily, and conclude that this is normal. This is not normal. At least I hope you haven't become so desensitized to believe that. However, I understand how this can happen, given the horrible evil acts that are becoming so prevalent in our societies and so frequent that many have grown to expect them, and they just shrug their shoulders at these events. They may even think, well, as long as it's not happening to me, it's none of my business. Really? You'll be surprised that even that attitude is part of the enemy's plan. He doesn't want people caring about these things because then they may do something about it and declare war against him and his schemes. He does not want opposition. So if he can get people to just brush it off their shoulders and accept it, accept all this immorality and chaos as part of the norm in our times, then he has won. He has won the battle in those who have that attitude. It is impossible to mention all the ways that the realm of darkness unleashed its fury on the human race to affect all of us. There's too much. There's too much to quote, to mention, to say. So let's just begin to consider what has happened in the last two centuries, beginning with the latter half of the 19th century, when an outstanding blow was hurled at God and the foundation of his creation, upon which everything rests. You heard that right, and you may have already guessed that I'm referring to the theory of evolution that is forming people's minds, people's cultural outlooks, people's foundation for their lives, and it is so prevalent in our institutions of learning at all levels. This is what generations have been taught. And since it was introduced, the institutions of higher learning, like the universities and the colleges, were the first ones to embrace this theory of evolution. And it has grown to such degree that even though there are no irrefutable facts to substantiate this theory, that's all that's taught. It is taken as pure science, and nothing could be further from the truth. What could be more devastating than to strike a deadly blow at the foundation of a building or at the root of a tree? In doing so, you have just destroyed its support system for being there, for standing there, and it will inevitably come down. The foundation of all of creation is to know and accept that we came from a creator. We are created beings. And this is fundamental to all of life. In human affairs, God has given us ability to reason and perceive things for what they are. We have a mind to discern, to reason things out, to critically think about everything before accepting a concept, an idea, or a trend. We must know its validity. So when the theory of evolution was introduced to the world, friends, there should have been such a deafening outcry from the entire world to reject this obvious falsehood. Because up to that point, the general consensus in regard to life and its origin is that there is a creator who originated all of creation and in whose image we are created. Oh, I know, not everyone believed in one true God, and that some cultures called him by different names and even believed in multiple gods. But the point I'm trying to make is that there always was an image of a God who originated everything and watched over it. It's there. Human beings have always been and will always be religious in nature. By that I mean they perceive that there is a supernatural dimension, whether they want to accept it or not. It is there. And if they ask themselves legitimate, logical questions, it will always come up, because in life, not everything can be explained in the natural. And something inside of us tells us, for instance, that we don't want to die. We don't want to die. We want to live. We want to live forever. Why? Because we are eternal beings. God created us to live, and we are going to live forever. Not all in the same place, but we're going to live forever. So all these innate answers and questions are inside of every human being. Now, the theory of evolution came in direct attack against the Creator and His creation to divert the attention of humans away from God, and to enthrone lies and deception. Would you say that that has been successful? We must admit, it has been very successful. And it was a very audacious plan. And so far, it has worked probably far better than it should have. It has been now ingrained and confused many generations. Inside, people want to know about God. cry out to God? Just listen to the first expression that comes out of people's mouth when they are surprised or when they are shocked, where there is an element that's unexpected. What do they say? Oh, my God. Don't most people say that? I have even heard people who say they do not believe in God use that expression. Where does that come from? From what I explained earlier. So this plan to enthrone lies and deception was a home run by the devil. Do you ever wonder how Satan could have lured angels in heaven who lived in perfection and didn't lack absolutely anything? How he could have lured them and convinced them to follow him? Have you ever thought about that? What could have been more perfect than heaven? What could have been more perfect than their existence there? How did Satan convince them that there was something better? It just goes to show you that he is the master of deception. Gotta hand it to him. And Jesus exposed him and described him very graphically when he rebuked the religious leaders of his day who were leading the people astray away from God with their false religious beliefs. And I must inject this right here, that in many instances, a very powerful tool in the hands of Satan are religious beliefs, because he knows that human beings have that dimension. That's where he came from, and that we are spiritual beings, and that inside of us, there's always something indicating that dimension. He knows about that. And so the religious leaders of Jesus' time were totally blinded by false religion. So much so that instead of serving God, they were serving the devil. And Jesus told them in John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." End of quote. Wow, here is a perfect description of the deceiver. And he uses that talent and that ability, if you can call him that, to perfection. He knows exactly how to create a trap that people can fall into through his lies, through his misrepresentations. And the Bible tells us that even if it is possible, he will turn himself into an angel of light to deceive people. And people think that many things, many lies, like spiritualists, that they can talk to the dead and they even quote the scriptures. He's very deceptive. And he has all kinds of manners and ways to deceive people. And Jesus said, he is the father of lies. He invented lies. That's right, dear friends. Just like God finds people that he can use to share his gospel of truth, guess what? The devil also finds ready, willing, and able people to do his bidding for evil purposes. And many times, people don't even perceive that they are serving the devil. But there's a very important point that I want to signal at this moment. I must point out something very important here, and that is that neither God nor the devil can make us do anything, because they always have to respect our free will, which is our domain. So you see, we're not just pawns in the hands of God. We're not pawns in the hands of the devil. We have our own domain, our own control, and it is called free will. Now, we know that whatever we choose, through that free will, there are consequences, positive and negative. So please always keep that in mind. You have control of yourself. So as you can see, the saying that says, "The devil made me do it," is false. He cannot make you do anything that you do not want to do. And that is a fact by what I just explained. You have a free will, and you have the control of that free will. The spiritual warfare is undeniable. And if you are paying even a small degree of attention to our daily happenings, there's no other way to describe the evil that we see all around us. And we know it very well. We know evil when we see evil. People may try to rationalize it, to rearrange it in many ways. But when you look at it through the eyes of truth, God's truth, you can easily detect evil. If you study history and the ways of the realm of darkness, you will notice a pattern, which is to target the children and use our most vulnerable to accomplish ungodly goals in many ways. And we have seen massacres of children, even recorded in the Bible, when the enemies of God wanted to come against him. Just think about it. How many children, or male children, were destroyed when Herod wanted to kill Jesus? We don't know, but you can rest assured that children up to 2 years old, around the age of Jesus, were destroyed in Israel because he could not get at Jesus any other way. But I'm so glad that God is always ahead of the game, strides ahead of anything that the devil can try to bring our way. And he told Joseph, "You need to flee tonight. You need to go to Egypt because Herod is coming to kill the child. Take his mother and take the child to Egypt and don't come back until those who are seeking to kill him are dead." And Joseph had to, that very moment, that very night, rush his family out from where they were, and they traveled to Egypt to save the life of Jesus. Can you imagine what a triumph it would have been for the devil to kill Jesus in his infancy? Say what? That is how audacious he is. And we see that there were other times when terrible attempts were carried out against the children. Just think about the edict that went out from the Pharaoh to kill all the male babies from the nation of Israel who were slaves in his country. And the order was given that they were to kill all the baby boys. Another horrible attempt. How many more baby boys died at that time? And God had a plan. God had a plan to save a very select boy by the name of Moses. And he gave his mother a plan so that the child could be saved. And not only was he saved, but God put him in the very palace of the Pharaoh so that he could be trained properly, educated properly, because God had a plan. So the enemy can never outdo God. We should know that. So we have seen throughout the ages that prominent rituals and edicts have been carried out for child sacrifice to the false gods. The very popular one is Moloch, Read about Moloch, that false god, in the Bible, and how children were sacrificed to that false god. Dear friends, the same thing is happening now. Our children are the target. Our children have been the target for a long time. Have you been appalled at the homosexuals that dress as drag queens in grotesque costumes and makeup that are being allowed to read to our children in the public libraries? Have you kept abreast of that activity? And notice I said public libraries. Why is that important? Because we pay for those libraries. Our tax dollars pay for those libraries. So we are supporting, we are paying for that kind of activity. And the vileness of this is almost indescribable, how they assault our children, even with dirty dancing called twerking, and teaching the children how to twerk dance, which is nothing less than lewd movements like having sex with clothes on. And remember, I mentioned in the beginning that this is not just in America. I recently learned of a dance group of children no older than 5, 6, and 7 year olds that won a world recognition because of their dance. And out of curiosity, I looked up the presentation, the performance that they won recognition for. And they were doing this twerking, 5, 6, and 7 year olds, with all these pelvic movements, like if they're having sex on the platform, and they were recognized with a world recognition for dancing this way. All this is under the guise, in the libraries and in the schools, under the guise of diversity and inclusion. Give me a break. Why should this be accepted and respected? This is an abuse, an intrusion. And the worst part are the parents that willingly expose their vulnerable and impressionable children to this filth. The parents gladly take their children to these presentations in the public schools. Dear friends, there's no worse act that hit the target to destroy the children like the legalization of abortion on demand in January of 1973 here in America. And so far, the aggression has been so severe that 66 million unborn babies have been destroyed by this demonic act straight from the pit of hell in America alone. And I must tell you that those 66 million don't even include the chemical abortions. So you can rest assured that that number is much higher. In the world, 1.6 billion unborn children have been aborted since 1980. And so far, it doesn't show signs of stopping, although we do see some rays of sunshine beginning to penetrate through the darkness, through people who are rejecting, protesting, and offering better solutions to people who don't want to keep their babies. And the solution includes adoption. The onslaught against our children just becomes more and more aggressive. The Daily Mail reports that Minnesota parents claimed district asked students to play queer roles. The curriculum includes scenarios where students are asked to act gay or transgender and decide whether they should or should not have sex with others. Another section of the curriculum focuses on anal sex and prevention of STDs, while warning teachers that male students might have a homophobic response. What do you think that is? Use your imagination. They're being exposed to this so these young kids can easily become aroused right in class. They are introducing this to children as young as 4 years old. When is it okay to tell kindergartners that a clitoris is a very sensitive little area? When is it appropriate to coach sixth graders in asking consent for sex and telling them they know best when they are ready for sex? The curriculum includes situations where teenagers are turned on, hooking up, and doing some awesome things to each other right in class. This is more than pathetic, disgusting, and child abuse. It is downright evil. And now you know why we are saying that the darkness, the realm of darkness, has pulled out all the stops, and it's right in our face. And this is a Planned Parenthood-sponsored program. This means it is paid by our own tax dollars. You and I are paying for this corruption of our children. And this is only one example of the all-out war against what is good and decent. The list of the spiritual war from the realm of darkness is all out and in the open for all to see. Nothing is being hidden. These are the days that the prophet Isaiah warned about when he said in chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight." End of quote. Dear friends, what you and I always knew was good is now being called evil. It is wrong to believe in God. It is wrong to mention God. It is wrong to teach His values and principles for life. Now all of that is wrong. And this is what has happened. Things that we always knew were bitter are now being called sweet, like what we have just described that our children are being exposed to. And when the parents talk to the board of directors, they justify these curriculas and saying that these are the national standards for those age groups. Well, who established those standards? It's time to fight back against the darkness, dear friends. The devil has no level of mercy, and we should not hold back to expose his darkness and to fight against it with everything that is within our power. And God has given us that strength, that understanding, and that power. We're going to continue with this topic, and I hope that you will join us next time. We'll see you.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.